If you have your Bible tonight, be fine in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I want to read a couple of verses found there, and then I want to move into chapter number 4 tonight. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, I'll start reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I'm glad we got a lively hope. I'm glad God didn't save us to be dead, but He saved us to be alive. And I'm glad I serve a living God tonight, and He's on the throne. Nothing catches Him by accident. There's nothing caught Him by surprise. And I'm glad He's ruling and reigning as He sees fit. Verse 4, "To an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you rejoice, greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having ye not seen, ye love, in whom though ye have seen Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Turn over to chapter number 4 and verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says this, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when you, His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this night. Lord, I don't have words to say tonight, Lord, but You do. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You speak to some soul here tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the salvation of my soul tonight. Lord, I'm unworthy, Lord. I'm the least of the least, Lord, and the lowest of the low, Lord. I'm glad You reached down and caught me and pulled me out of the miry clay one day, Lord. And I thank You tonight, Lord. I pray, dear to God, You take the Word of God and speak to somebody here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested tonight in chapter number 4 and verse number 12, where the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." As I began to look at this chapter and began to study this out, I first looked at the author of this book. It was a man named Peter. Peter was a man's man. Peter was a man that if you needed somebody to be there with you in the fight, I believe he'd have been there. He'd have been the first one to jump on you if you were to mess with somebody. Matter of fact, if somebody were to mess with Jesus, he was going to be the first one to jump in. But Peter said, when Peter wrote this, I look back at Peter's life, and I look back at many aspects of his life, and I remember what Peter many times would be the man that would stick his foot in his mouth. And I'm a lot like Peter, because a lot of times I got my foot in my mouth. I'm saying something when I should be quiet. I'm standing up when I should be sitting down. And I'm sitting down when I should be standing up. And I find myself much like Peter. Peter was a man that had confidence in himself. Oh, me tonight. Peter was all right as long as he thought he had it under control. Peter would learn things down the road that would help him. I'm here tonight to tell you that this faith that we have is a faith that can be trusted tonight. I'm glad tonight that God has entrusted us with a lot. But let me tell you what, you're going to go through trials down here on earth. There's no doubt about it. You're going to be partakers of Christ's suffering. The Bible said that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through what? Sufferings. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to get closer to Christ tonight. It's not by I'm going to church, but I'm telling you, when you get through and you get down in a trial, then you'll find out what kind of God you really serve. Peter was a man that had confidence in himself. I remember in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 31, the Bible said, "Behold, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. He said, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter was a man that had confidence in himself. Peter stood up and said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and unto death." Peter was a man that had a lot of confidence in himself. Peter was a man that would learn that the trials of life would always take him to Christ. Tonight you may be going through a fiery trial. And there may be trials. You know what the devil wants tonight? He's not so much after our ministry. You say, "Oh," and a lot of y'all say, "Whoop." He's not so much after your marriage. Whoop. He's not so much after your soul. What? He's after your faith. The devil is after your faith, because if he's got your faith, he can get your ministry. If he's got your faith, he can get your marriage. If he's got your faith, he can get your finances. You see, we stand here tonight fighting a real devil that would love to take your faith. Peter would learn that the trial of his faith was much more precious than of gold. You say, gold's pretty precious these days. It's actually worth more than cash. If you've got gold, it's worth more than the dollar bill. And the more gold you got, the richer you are. There's something that will never lose their value is gold. And people will buy gold over anything in this world to keep up. And they'll stash it up because they think it's something as a treasure. And the Bible said Peter learned that the trial of our faith would be much more precious than the gold that perished. The Bible said it's going to burn up one day. But he said it was much more precious than that. And God is working things through the fire that we don't see. Peter was a man that had confidence in himself. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat." There's many people in here tonight that's being sifted as wheat. But I'm glad Jesus said he was a wheat. There is some significance in that word wheat there. Because when the when they were sifting out the wheat, they'd go to the threshing floor. And they go to that threshing floor and they take that wheat and they toss it up in there in a process they call winnowing. And when that winnowing and that wind would take it, it would separate the chaff from the wheat. And that chaff was the part that nobody could use. And it was there to be burned up and there to be swept away. But I'm glad Jesus, when he saw Peter, he saw him as wheat. Tonight you might not think you're anything, but God sees you as something special. And even though Peter had confidence in himself, and Peter thought, "I'm a man that can do anything by myself," Jesus still loved him, and Jesus saw him as a plain old sinner and said, "I can help that man," even though he's got confidence in himself. Peter said, "I've got confidence in myself." There may be somebody here tonight that says, "I got a lot of confidence in myself. I've come to find out that I can have no confidence in my flesh. There's nothing in me. There's no good thing." Paul said, "This flesh is wicked." Jeremiah said, "The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it?" Peter had confidence in himself. Peter also thought he could save Jesus by the sword. You remember in the garden? They was coming to get Jesus that night. And they figured out who would betray him. And Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a band of the high priest came up and had a band of armor bearers there with him. And Peter drew out his sword, didn't he? And he cut off Malchus's ear, didn't he? Peter thought he could save the Lord with that sword. Jesus said this. He said, "They that live by the sword shall die by the sword." Let me ask you this. Think about that. As Jesus was about to go to the cross of Calvary, Jesus was almost there. If Peter was fixing to cause a bloodbath there in the garden that day, and it would have took the hand of God and the plan of God, because God's plan from the beginning was always to go to the cross. If Peter would have had his, if he would have had his way and he would have cut with that sword, just think about all the bloodbath and all the war that would have cost there that day, and it could have cost the Lord his life early, prematurely. No doubt the Lord was in control of that. Peter thought, "I can save myself with this sword." There was a fiery trial. Not only with the sword, he thought he could save himself with his speech. You find him later on in the hall, judgment hall. You remember that story? And it said, Peter come up to him, is found there in Luke 22, right after this. He said, "Before the day shall come up, thou shalt deny me thrice. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said, "Lord, I'll not do it." And then he found himself, most of us are just like Peter. I am just like Peter. I've got confidence in myself too much. I'll admit that tonight. The Lord's teaching me to learn till I can depend on Him. There's no confidence I can have in myself. You see, we all think it's fine as long as we've got a big bank account. Everything's going right. The bills are paid. The kids are in school. And there's no rebellion going on in our house. But let me tell you what. The older I get, the more I need to trust in the Lord. And if He's teaching me not to have any confidence in myself. Peter would learn that. And he would learn that the trials of life and the trials that he would face would always bring him closer to Jesus. It would always be those that... I was reading after one man. He said, what brings greatness in life? You know what he said? He said, "Trouble, trouble, and more trouble." Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." There's somebody in here tonight that may be going through a fiery trial, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go. You see, it's easy when we're going through something and people can see that we're physically hurting. They can see that we're emotionally hurting. You know why? They pass out a life raft. They pass out things to us. They send us cards. They know that we've been going through something. They say kind words. But there may be somebody here tonight that's going through a secret trial. And you're battling. And you don't know which way to go. You don't know which way's up. You don't know if it's up or down. Let me tell you what. Jesus is there with us in our trials. Peter would learn that Jesus would be right by his side no matter what he was facing. No matter how stupid he was acting or how ignorant he was acting. That Jesus was still there. I'm glad tonight I got a God that'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm glad Jesus is by my side. I'm glad when I mess up and I'm at my wit's end and don't know which way to go and I'm in a crossroads in my life, there's still a Jesus that's still there tonight. I entitled this "Faith Under Fire." You see, I've learned in life that I've learned the most with God when I'm under fire. Some people say, "Do you work well under pressure?" I'm a procrastinator, so I work well under pressure. When I was in school, homeroom was my study time for the next class because I learned under pressure. But I learned that I also forget that stuff real easy after the test. Can I get an amen right there? Peter would learn that his faith would be tried. And it was much more precious than the gold of that perished. I want to say, first of all, you'll see the certainties of trials. You see, they'll always come. If you look in verse number 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Let me tell you what, it's not if you're going to have a trial, it's when. You're going to go through a trial. And you say, "Well, I can't believe God would let me go through things." I stand here tonight that saying I'm a better Christian because I had to walk through some things in life. I remember not long ago, I was telling the man how I got saved. You see, my mama took me to church all my life. I can remember the only time my daddy ever came to church was one time in the first 12 till I was about 14 years old. My daddy, I'd never seen him in church. You see, my mama carried me to church, but I can't say that, you know, my whole family was in church. I can't say that. But I remember it was through a trial that where I got saved at. My brother had passed away, and in the front row of Faith Baptist Church in a funeral. I'd never been in a funeral where they gave an invitation, and I accepted Christ on the front row. And I stand here today because God saved me through a trial. Some of you may have a testimony that's similar to that, to where God used a trial in your life to bring you by His side, and He saved you. And some of you may have a testimony that says, I stand here tonight because I got way out there, and then there was a trial that hit in my life, and now I'm back in the house of God, and I'm faithful, and I walk in close to God because of that trial. There's certainties of trial. They're always going to come. You see, this world's looking at you to see how you're going to react to that trial. How will you act when they come to you and say, the doctors come to you and say, I've done all I can do. And this is the last time you'll ever come to the hospital. You won't have to worry about coming back. What do you do when you have a trial like that? I was there. I had a friend of mine. It was a young girl. She was 19 years old. I went to the UAB hospital. She had leukemia and she battled it all her life. I went there when they told her mom and daddy that this will be the last time she'll have to come because she won't have to come back. What do you tell a mom and daddy that's walking through a trial like that? That's the only things that God can handle. I'm telling you, there's certainties of trial. And as you go through those things, I'm telling you, it's a fiery trial. And God said, it's much more precious than that of gold. I'm closer tonight to God because of trials that have come in my life that's brought me closer to Him. The certainties of trial. I want to say that they're prepared by the Master's hands. He said, don't think it strange. Not only that, it's proof of the Master's hold. I always go to this verse. It's found in Psalm 91 in verse number 1. Psalm 91, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 15 said, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him and honor him. Isaiah 43 said this in verse number 2, Isaiah 43, and verse number 2 says, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'm glad tonight the Master's got a hold on me. So I'm holding on to Him. There's been times I would have let go. But I'm glad tonight that He's holding on to me. And I'm wading through high waters and they're over my head. I'm glad there's somebody that's got a hold of me that won't let go of me, even though when I want to let go. They're proof of the Master's hold. When you're walking through something and you say, well, I'm going to prove how big I am. My God is bigger than my trouble is tonight. The certainties of trials. Their purpose to the Master's holiness. In 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 1... 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1 says this. It says, For as much as then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For He has suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin. There's trials I've walked through that Master has used them to clean me up. Things that He's showed me that I've done wrong. And the trials of life that I walked through that He said, Hey, you did wrong. And here I want you to cease from sin. Not to say I'm in perfection, because I'm the most imperfect person in this building tonight. But I'm glad there's a God that knows what we need and when we need it. And He can bring us into His holiness through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The certainties of sufferings. I want to say, secondly, the cause of suffering. The cause of trials. Why do we go through trials? One man said it this way. He said, bad things make good people. Bad things make good people. We always heard that. Why do good people go through bad things? He said this, bad things make good people. And I believe that. There was an old man of God. He preached something in my heart years ago. He opened up the Bible and went to James chapter number 1. This is what he preached on. He said, verse number 2, he said, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work at patience. And he said, here's my message. Now, I ain't going to stick on it long, but this is the five things he said, and I took it to heart. He said, trials deliver us from confidence in ourselves. You see, it would be easy for us to be lifted up in pride. Peter would learn that the trial of his faith would take all that pride out of him. Peter was a man that would fall on his face before God and would deliver him from confidence in himself. There may be somebody here tonight say, I got it all under control, and God will let you have it. There's been times in my life God said, okay, buddy, you got it. You know what I did? I ended up falling on my face. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. They deliver us from confidence in ourselves. He said this, they develop us for Christian service. I'm here tonight to say I'm a better Christian because I went through some trials, went through some things. I remember Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 1 said, therefore seeing we have this ministry. It was a book on ministry. And then he said this in verse number 11, I believe it's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In verse number 11, he said this. He said, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And here it is. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You say, why do I have to go through things? He said, they develop us for Christian service. God may have you in a trial, so that it may be working death in you, but it's working life in somebody else. You say, what? God may have you somewhere to where you think you absolutely are dying. But by you dying to yourself and dying to the things around you, you're actually working life into somebody else's life. There's people on your job that's watching you walk through a trial, and you think you absolutely can't make it. But you know what you're doing? You're actually being a light to them to show them that they can make it through their trial. They can walk through that trial. And they can see that Jesus can help them in their trial, and you're working life in them by being a witness in your trial. They develop us for Christian service. Not only that, they display us for Christ's similarities. I thought about John the Baptist, talking about display. Y'all remember John the Baptist, don't you? Remember what happened to him? Wasn't nothing glorious. You remember the Herodias' daughter said, give me John the Baptist's head and a charger. You remember that? Matthew chapter number 14, Jesus has come on the scene, and Herod heard of the fame of Jesus. You know what he said? In Matthew 14, he said, that's John the Baptist raised from the dead. I said, they display us for Christ's similarities. You know what Herod thought? He thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. You know what? That's a great compliment to John the Baptist. Herod said, that man right there looks just like John the Baptist. And it was Jesus himself walking in the flesh, manifest himself right there in Herod's presence. It was the Lord himself. And he said, that's John the Baptist. God may have you in a trial tonight, and He's working new things through your life, making them see Jesus in you, in your own display to a world that knows nothing about Christ. I'm here tonight to tell you we're living in dark times. That shooting in Florida, we're in dark times. And you know what they, people on your job, people down at the Walmart, people at the Dollar General want to see? They want to see somebody that's got Christ in them. And you're doing things the way Christ would want you to. And you're a display to the world, to them, of Christ Himself. You're the only Bible they'll ever read. Your life. They display us for Christ's similarities. Not only that, they demonstrate Christ's sufficiency. Demonstrate Christ's sufficiency. I want to say this. When you're walking through a trial, He'll be enough. He'll be enough. You say, I don't believe I'm going to make it. You stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him, and He'll be enough. There's enough of Him to go around. Not only that, our trials drive us to Christ's side. There's never been a trial that never took me to closer to the Lord. Let me say to people, if you're not careful, you'll get out of God's will when a trial hits. And you'll say, I'll go get some advice from the world, and it'll take you and your family out of church. The trials are always made for the Christian to drive us to Christ's side, for us to get closer to Him, to trust in Him. I've been studying over in Hebrews chapter number 11, the big hall of faith. And I wanted to preach tonight being a hero or a zero. And a lot of times I find myself as a zero. But this thing of faith, I told y'all earlier, I said, this thing of faith, the devil would love to steal your faith, and he'll do it through a trial. And he'll drive you from the house of God. Instead of going to Christ's side, you'll go further away from God than you've ever been. And you must be careful with that. Talking about the cause of our sufferings. Thirdly, you'll see not only the cause of our suffering, I want to say this, the caution of our suffering and our trials. There's a caution that he gave us in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. You'll find it in verse number 15. He said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" I'm talking about there's a caution in trials. Be careful what you say about somebody that's walking through a trial. Be careful about that. I had an old man that worked with me. This is what he said. He said, "Believe nothing that you hear, only half of what you see." I believe that with all my heart. Believe nothing that you hear, and only half of what you see. And I said, "Boy, I probably don't need to believe anything I even see either." Because I tell you what, we're quick to judge. If judgment again at the house of God, where should be the end of it? Be careful when you see something, your brother or your sister going through something, and you're quick to judge them because you don't know what they're going through. There's been times in my own life that I saw somebody and I didn't know what to say, and you know, and I was quick to judge, and I shouldn't have just might as well put my foot in my mouth. I should have been praying. I should have been down there fasting. Talking about fasting. Praying, saying, "God, please help them on behalf of Christ Himself. Do something special in that brother or that sister's life." Talking about the caution of judgment. And then lastly, tonight, I won't stay there long. I want to close with this. The conclusion of trials. Why do we go through trials? They cause pain. The pain that they cause, the Bible said they was fiery. How many of you ever played with fire? You ever been burned? When Peter explained these trials, he said they was fiery. I want to say this tonight. God has things that will come in our life that will hurt us. You say, hurt us? Yes, they do hurt. I've walked through trials to where my guts were out on the floor and I didn't know what to do and it hurt. But I want to say this. It may have hurt me, but it didn't harm me. I'm a better Christian tonight because I went through that hurt and I went through that pain. And God let me go through it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there was a God that stood right there beside me all the way through it. And here tonight, He's healed that pain because of it. The hurt, the pain that they cause, the conclusion. Not only that, the purpose they complete. I'm glad God has a purpose for trials. If you'll look back in our text in verse number 13, it said this. This is a hard verse. It says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." If it says this, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified." And as I thought about that verse there, I remember a boy that I used to work with down at the grocery store. I just had got saved. And his daddy, he worked at the grocery store. And his daddy worked at the grocery store. And the man's daddy was legally blind. And I invited him to church. And as I every Sunday I'd go by his house and I'd pick him up and take him to church. And his son would make fun of me. He'd say, "He's a holy roller." That's what he called me. He said, "You're a holy roller." Evil was spoken of on my half, but he wasn't speaking about me. You know what he's speaking to? He's speaking about Christ. But I'm glad tonight I watched his daddy grow in the Lord, and it made me as happy as I'd ever been as a Christian to be able to witness somebody and take them to church and try to teach them the things of God. I was a young Christian at the time. I was just glad that I was saved. You could have thrown a brick and hit me, and it would not have hurt me because I was just saved and glad to be saved. I wish some of you would get back to that point. To where things that happened in the church didn't really bother you. You were just glad to be saved. And things that happened around you and the trials that you're walking through, you're just glad God saved you. And that was enough. Talking about the purpose they complete. lastly, the pleasure that they conclude. What's he trying to do? He's trying to reveal his glory in us. You see, it wouldn't be heaven up there if it was heaven down here. I'm glad tonight I'm serving a God that's preparing a place for me. And not just any place. If your Bible says you got a room, I got something far greater than a room. I got a room down there at 4211 County Road 87, Roanoke, Alabama. But let me tell you what I got up in heaven. I've got a mansion waiting on me, prepared by the Master's hand. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I'm glad tonight our faith may be under fire, but I'm glad the fire will never burn us up. I remember three Hebrew boys thrown in the fire. They wasn't burned up, was it? Matter of fact, as they walked through that fire, old King Nebuchadnezzar, I remember what he said. He said, "Didn't we just throw three of them boys in there?" He said, "Where'd that fourth man come from?" You know, and I got to thinking about that in that story in Daniel chapter number 3 about old Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible said he was the only one that saw that fourth man. I don't see where anybody else in that story ever said that there was a fourth man but King Nebuchadnezzar. The very guy that was persecuting them. You know what they was doing? He was displaying Christ similarities through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tonight you may be walking through the fire. You say, "I'm about to give up. I'm about to throw in the towel. I'm about to do something and split ways." Let me tell you what. Just stick with it. Faith that is tested is faith that can be trusted tonight. I'm glad we have a God we can trust. With our faith, we can trust Him when we're walking through these trials. I know it hadn't been a Valentine's message tonight, but I hope I've helped somebody here tonight. Brother Mike.
Living the faith. Fighting the fight.